How are we doing this morning? Good, good. It's good to see you all. I'm just messing with my eyes at the back there. So, a new season. We continue this morning with part six, a new season. And what we're going to look at this morning is a new season, a new breed. If you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Exodus. We're not there?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm just gaily going along.
You keep going.
I'm just keep going on. Exodus chapter 19, please. And if they all the canned fruit's gone and some apple juice and all the pancake is gone, all that's left is some table syrup. And so, but you can still buy. If you haven't got a ticket, you're allowed to still buy. I'll do it here. Are we? Bingo. Okay, so we were there, and now we're going to be there. New season, a new breed. Exodus chapter 19, and you're all there now, and I'm just still going to get there. How are we doing? There we go. There's my warrior. I hear the warrior's voice in the back there. Don't be afraid. Come on. Get excited. Excited. I'm so excited. Yeah. You've got to have fun when we're in church. Don't be all fuddy-duddy and not too much fun. Okay, there we go. Now let's have as much fun as we want to have. A new season, a new breed. As I did, I went and I started preparing this, and you're just going to have to believe me on this one. I started preparing the sermon. I had the idea the Lord gave me, and I started preparing. And I thought, ooh, that would be cool if I went and had a look and said, because I told you to do it, let's read what Mark Henshed has been saying. So I went back to read what Mark Henshed has said, and this is what Mark Henshed said in one of his points. This shall be a place where the priesthood of all believers is not only taught, but practiced by all. And that is the point of the sermon this morning. And Alan stole one of my scriptures in the pre-service prayer meeting. And so I was like all giggly inside, like a schoolgirl just with her first date. And I was like, yes, Lord, this is cool. I'm having way too much fun because God is so good.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, jeez. God is so good.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. God is so good.
Yeah.
No, you only get one shot at this, dude. This is not a pep rally. Did you see that? Yeah. Well, I suppose I should close down my Skype. Okay, Exodus chapter 9. We know we're not going to go anywhere if we don't start. Okay, Exodus chapter 19. And so, just so you can stay with me, get your fingers into all those scriptures because that's where we're going to be going. Okay, let me read from 1, just for context. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob," a place of small beginnings, just a little tribe, house of Jacob, 12 tribes. "And tell the people of Israel," now we're talking about a nation, now we're looking into the apostolic prophetic thing, we're looking to the future, we're looking to the bigger picture, we're looking to the greatness. "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine." Verse 6, important. "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And we see here God's first intention was a chosen people. He chose the tribe, the nation of Israel. And if you read your scriptures, you will know that out of the 12, he eventually chose one. And the unfortunate thing is that in the church today, we still have the one out of 12 mindset. Well, he's chosen him, he hasn't chosen me. He's the one that's gifted, he hasn't chosen me. Let me tell you now, break that mindset right now. We are all chosen. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked. Thanks, Janine. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. And you yourselves, let's go back to, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. And as I'm reading that, I'm just remembering that in those prophetic words, Michael Hanschard said what? He said, people will come here like burnt stones, restore them and refurbish them and bring them to health so that they can continue. And the point, I guess, is to priest up as a special house. Be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Not any old sacrifice, that which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, Alan read for us this morning, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence, that you may praise the excellence, the praises of God, of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And this is a continuum. There's a continuum and an exciting following of this. How do I know that? You should ask. Well, because let's go to the book of Revelation. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah, andle.
Arriba, yeah.
Let's go. Come on, man. Revelation chapter. I had my happy pills this morning. I spoke to Jesus. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father to him, to glory and dominion, just for now and just for a little while and just while we're here. No, forever and ever and ever. Amen. So it's not just here. When this old quaking, quivering piece of human flesh is done with and done, we're going to step into my new body and I'm never going to limp again and I'm going to be joyful and healthy and full of vitality and I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship the King forever and ever and ever and I'm going to priest him before him and I'm going to lay down my crowns before him and I'm going to kneel before him and I say all glory to God. Yeah. You got to get excited about that stuff. Jesus is our high priest. And we are the priests that come after him, the firstborn for us. How do you know all that, Mark? Well, it's not because I'm clever, it's because the Bible tells me so. Turn with me to 1 John, please. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Whew. You should go. Because you have no idea how much I feel I sin. You have no idea how much I behave and I'm like an idiot from time to time. Can we say that word here? Idiot. Do you know the Bible says we're all idiotes? Which in the Greek means we are unique in Jesus Christ. We idiotes. Where am I? Okay. That he is the propitiation for our sins. And we did a whole sermon on that one. The wrath of God has been dealt with once and for all. We don't, God is not cross with you. Anybody think, have a mindset that God is cross with you? Look at me now. Look into my eyes. Believe me, he is not cross with you. He's not angry with you. He doesn't have a big stick. He's not writing up a scoreboard for you. Well, just wait till I get to heaven. He's going to beat me when I get there. No, he's not. He's going to open the gates, the pearly gates. And Peter's going to stand. You're going to say, how's it, Peter? And you're going to walk into the kingdom. Into his gloriousness. Why? Because it says here, we have an advocate, which is Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for only for ours only, but also for some of the people in this world. Yeah, I'm just checking who's listening and who's following in their Bibles. If you haven't got the Word of God, you've got nothing. Let me just say that. Because it is what speaks to us, who brings life to us. Thank you. For sins of the whole world. So if you consider you part of the whole world, that means you. I just thought I'd throw that in for free. It's not in my notes. And by this, only I am. No. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. This is going beyond talking to an individual. This is talking to a whole congregation. This is talking to a whole nation. This is talking to everyone. Whew, I'm getting out of breath here doing this stuff. Whoever says, I know him, I hope you're not taping this morning. But does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Strong words. Strong words. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Verse 6. Whoever says he abides. The word Greek, Hebrew, Greek. Yeah, we're Greek. Meno. It says that remains in him. It's like the, referring back to John 15, the vine. We are in the vine, blah, blah. In him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Whew. Believers need not and cannot repeat Christ's work on the cross. Because it was a once and for all done deal. We do not have to beat ourselves on our back. We don't have to go and cut ourselves. We don't have to go and repent again and again and again and again. Because we don't understand the meaning of the word repentance. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance, the word metanoia, means changing your mind about what you think about. Because you cannot actually repent truly before God and then go and do the same things again, because it means your mind was never changed, which means you actually were never saved. Gee, Mark, what are you saying now? You've heard me say it. Many people have walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, shaken the preacher's hand, but never had a change of heart or mind. It was just a mental ascent. There was no heart change. They never truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They never truly gave their lives to Jesus. Because when you do, your life will change. Your thinking will change. Your rage might sometimes be a process. And when somebody cuts you off, you'll figure out how much of a process you are down the road. Or your wife will, yeah. And it's all about being changed in him. But what we can do is that we can live and walk as Jesus did. Because we are changed. Because we have an advocate before the Father. The problem is that there are too many unfulfilled, disgruntled, distorted views. Too many frustrated people within the confines of these walls, or any church's walls, because they're looking at someone else's gifting, they're looking at someone else's calling, they're looking at someone else's anointing. Instead of figuring out And I told you a little while ago, stop looking for what God's call in your life. I'll tell you what it is again today. I'll repeat myself. The call on your life, the will of God's life is Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't help, Mark. That doesn't give me too much to work on. No, it gives you everything to work on. He is our righteousness. All we have to learn to do is walk and abide in His will and become Christ-like. Servants of the King. A new season, a new breed of person, a new revelation. I'm seeing this for the first time. Some of you might say, I've known this for a long time. Well, get off your blessed assurance and do something about it. Ooh, there we go. I heard some. Verse 6. Whoever is not separated, it's not an exclusive thing, it's an inclusive thing. Whoever. And only you can decide that. You can only decide that, actual fact, if I stick my hand on a burning stove, I'm going to get burnt and it's going to hurt me. I can't decide that for you. None of the pastoral team can decide that for you. You have to know and decide, if I do that, are my hands going to get burnt? I don't want to get burnt. I'm not going to do that. No. Say no to ungodliness, the Bible says. It's a language that some of us fail in miserably. N-O, two words. No. Come, let's go down around the corner and smoke some weed. No. Let's go and do this over here. No. We got to teach. No. They're 2 years old and they know how to do it. No one taught them. What happens between 2 and 6? No. Why don't you come and have the sweetie? No. Oh, okay. Come give me a hug. No. And then we get to 16 and they forget the word no. For the right reasons and sometimes for the wrong reasons. And as adults, we forget about it. Learn to say, no, I'm not walking down that road. And I don't know why I'm telling you all that, but anyway. His commissioning to us is freeing, it's liberating, it's totally inclusive. It's never exclusive, it encompasses all of us. I saw this on Facebook, so this is not my original thought, but I liked it so much and I took it. If you think, so here it is, but Mark, you just don't understand, I'm not gifted like A, B, or C. I'm not gifted like you. I'm not gifted like her or him. I can't do it. I'm so insignificant in God. Here's a paradigm shift for you. If you think you are too small or insignificant to have any impact, I pause for effect. Spend an hour in a dark room with a mosquito. But you don't understand. I don't speak as well as you do. I don't speak as well as they do. I don't do this. I'm not that. Think about it. Man, do you want to have more impact than a mosquito in the kingdom? Be like a young Isaiah who put up his hand and said, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. But here I am, Lord, send me. Be like the cupbearer whose heart was broken at the state of Jerusalem and he wept before the king. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Nehemiah. A vengeful Pharisee frothing and blowing out blood and fire and I'm going to kill these Christians and got slapped upside the head off his donkey. Who are you, Lord? How do you know it was Lord? Be like the tax collector who left his booth. All my richly wealth I leave behind to follow Jesus. Or fishermen who left their boats. Uneducated, it says they were. Left their boats to follow Jesus and to be his servant and to priest with him. Or myriad of saints throughout this world have given their lives for the sake of the gospel. I'm going to be more than a mosquito for God. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way in which he walked, verse 6 says. How did Jesus walk? How did Jesus priest? Those are two very important questions for us to ask. Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. We have been called to be ambassadors, to mediate. And that's the ministry we've been given. We have been called to be bridge builders for the sake of the gospel. The ministry we've been given is one of reconciliation. That we are reconciled first and that we minister and serve and priest to reconcile others to God. The gospel is free. Go out and be crazy and give it away. Yeah. A new season, a new breed, a royal priesthood. Number one, help others. That's why I love this thing. Jason said, every month, these five items they are deficient in. And I thought, we can do this. We can make sure that their food pantry is never, ever deficient in these items. We as a church can partner with them, walk into this thing, take part of this that they are doing. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We just need to go along and help them. Think of others before you think of yourselves. I know that is a very novel idea, but it's actually scriptural. And it's helpful. I had a friend who owned a big business. And he had, what was his name? Had his wife and two kids on it. And he used to look at it. I know it'll come to you. Neil. There we go. Neil's good enough. So you all know Neil now. Neil Street. And he'd look at this picture, and for the sake of the company, believe you, for those of you who own your own businesses, the next decision I make, how will this impact these three people? He was a kingdom man. How these are what God has given me to entrust. I have this business that's entrusted to me, but the next decision I make, how will this impact? And please don't shrink your brain to think, well, doesn't mean she's not going to get a new dress. No, he's actually talking the big picture. Because he had another 50 people behind them. But these were the first ones that he thought about. Lord, when I make this business decision, how is this going to affect these people? Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Think of others so that we, with our gifts, for the common good of all together. How did Jesus walk? How did Jesus priest? John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Number two, fight for and defend your brothers and sisters. When I say brothers, I mean brothers and sisters, okay? As priests, we cover the sins of our brothers. We go around, and, clarification, not sweeping them under the carpet, not, oh well, dude, that's not biblical. The biblical thing is to face it head on. The power and of sin is in its secrecy. When that is exposed, then we can move on. And if you think there's a secret, let me just tell you, there is no secret because God knows everything. But fight for and defend your brothers. I'm talking about Pharisaical practice where you went around going, ah, see what they're doing. Ah, look how they behave. That's Pharisaical. When you look at Jesus, every time the Pharisees tried to do that, what did he do? He defended the sinner. He didn't, yeah, you guys are right. You're the religious experts. Yeah, good on you, dudes. No, he defended them. And we should cover our brother's nakedness. We should help them into freedom and liberty. You don't lift the carpet and okay, no, it's not biblical. Don't pull people down. Cynicism and negativity are not kingdom thinking. I'll just say that again. Cynicism and negativity is not kingdom thinking. It's, as I said earlier, it's duct tape mentality. Well, we don't know what's, oh, that's broken. Let's just put a duct tape over it. No, let's go down to the shop and buy a new part and let's fix it properly. Because that's what we want. We want whole and burnt stones refurbished and healthily functioning for the kingdom. Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Whenever I would rather have a sinful foot washer than a terrible head whacker. I would rather have a sinful foot washer than a religious head whacker working with me. Well, I'm so pious, I'm so good. You'd have no idea. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm happy for you. You know, so this is just helpful for you in talking to me. When someone says that to me, I already know you don't really know who you are in Christ Jesus. You're living on past experiences. You have nothing fresh revelation because you feel you have to draw on the past. It's good to say I got saved in 1912 or whenever you got saved. But, you know, well, you don't understand. When I was with this body and we were in this ministry and, you know, I know I'm playing with you a little bit, but I just want to get a reality check. Romans 15:1. We who are strong, mature in Christ Jesus, have an obligation to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Just forgive me, my brain might be a little bit frozen. Gets cold out there with minus 12 and you're snow blowing. I take absolute pleasure because God has blessed me with a snowblower to snowblow my neighbor's driveways. I walk from here to there just backing. And the neighbors come out and they go, wow, look at that. Wonder who did that. And I'm inside. I'm only joking. But we need to learn to fight for and defend our brothers. And if you hear somebody's gossiping or saying stuff about somebody, say, hey, stop. Yeah, no, don't do that. That's ugly. It's cynic. It's negative. God is giving us a new season, and some of you might not even see that just yet. You might say, I haven't a clue what you guys are talking about. That's okay. Do not be cynic and negative about it. Say, Lord, I don't know what they're doing, but I know that this is in God I'm going to follow. And come and help. Pray for your brothers, number three. Pray for your brothers. Jesus' finished work was on Calvary. It was all done for. But his unfinished work is that he intercedes for us. Every day, it says we have an advocate before the Father. And I think if it's good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. Here's a challenge. Why don't you as a family, one family a week should do, there's enough of us here, pick a family. And go to them, don't keep it in secret because that's no benefit to them. Go and tell the family, we're going to pray for you this week. And when you have your prayer time, pray for that family. We had a businessman when we were in South Africa and he used to go away and do these $1 million contracts. And we used to get together and we used to pray for him. And he said, you know, when I went into the boardroom, I used to go in with trepidation, but then I used to remember that you guys were praying for us. He says, man, he said, it was like walking on air. He says, because I knew that God was my protector. He was going ahead of me. He was preparing the way for me. He was showing everything. And you guys had my back at home and you were praying. What a difference would be as families if we knew that we were actually, really, literally, not figuratively, literally praying for one another. Because we can go into our closet and we can keep it a secret, and we can pray ourselves till we're blue in the face and go out. I just think it was so much nicer if I said, John and Madeline, we're going to pray for you this week. It doesn't matter what they face this week, they know Mark and Bridget are praying for them. And then they can call us and say, hey guys, you cannot believe what happened. I watched the movie this week, Greg lent it to me, called Flywheel. Has anyone seen Flywheel? If you're a businessman, a businesswoman, and you want to understand integrity, watch the movie. We cried. Our daughter said, what is wrong with you two? I said, this is like good. Pray for your brothers. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Think about that. The God, the Creator, the Almighty, Universe, Maker, Architect, breathed and it was so, and spoke and it was so. And His Son Jesus, who came to earth and lived and died so we could be free and in liberty and have been made free, as Chris would always tell me. And we live in it. And the Holy Spirit, the one who came to help us and lead us and guide us into truth and gives us the power that we need. They are praying for us. They are on their knees praying for us. And they groan for us. And we can't pray for our neighbor. And we can't help our friends. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation under God. The enormity of that thing just hit me now. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Let's move on. Be vulnerable about your own struggles. We don't come with the attitude that we've got it all sorted out, because I'll tell you right now, again, pay attention, look me in the eyes, you don't. Because I don't. Not that that's a recommendation. But you got it all sorted out, Chris? Michael, let's speak to the Spirit of Truth here. He says, sure. Okay. Anybody real here today? Alan and Patty, have you got it all sorted out? Ken and Brenda. Anybody else? Paul? No. Greg? Are you sorted? Alan, have you got it all sorted? I think you 6 hours go sit in the back. You guys come sit in the front. Yeah. Okay, let's just go back to the fourth point. Be vulnerable about your own struggles. I'm all wise. I know it all. I can tell you how to do it. It's called a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 letter word. There we go. Say it louder, Janine. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 11:29. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The great apostle Paul. Not condescending, but in pureness of heart, having a heart of compassion and tenderness, loving care. Well, we should not have any anxieties. You should just, it all just comes. 2 Corinthians 11:28. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. You mean Paul had anxiety? Yeah, I get anxiety attacks. I'm just being vulnerable about your own struggles. I get anxious about you. Why? Because I'm called to shepherd you. I'm called to pastor you. A little girl heard me say that joking the other day and thought and was sitting going, he says he's the pastor. The pizza pastor. We must learn to keep short accounts over our own lives that we may be accessible to others. Because if we live anxiously all the time, then that's also something's wrong there. Because we have to get to a place when we understand, and we get anxious as a pastoral team, and we pray for you guys. That your finances, that your marriages, your walk with Christ Jesus, your children, I pick a subject. We go down the list and we pray. Why? Because we care for you. And when I see if I can just do the analogy that's sort of biblical. When I see a sheep, and we're all walking down this road, and I see one of the sheep going down this road, I'm like, oh, Lord, don't go down that. No, see you later. No, I'm going this way. No. So we get anxious. Not in a bad way, but and concerned, yeah. And sometimes weep over you, just like the cupbearer wept over the state of Jerusalem. Thank you. A friend of mine once said to me, I said, you know, Steve, he's preached here before. He said, you know, Steve, I really feel it's time for me to go and lead my own church. He says, really? He says, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, sure. He said, there's no Brown family in this church, right? Bob and Debbie Brown. When they left the church last week, what happened that night for you? I said, no. He says, I went home and I went to bed. He says, you're not ready to lead your own church yet, my friend. I said, what do you mean? He said, Janet and I went home and we wept. And we cried out to God for that family. I got the picture. And needless to say, I learned the lesson because here I am. Be quick to rid yourself of anger. Develop and mature in Christ's passion. Where we do not have passion, we cannot minister. The world says, and I know this was one of my favorite quotes, I do not suffer fools gladly. That is not kingdom. It's not kingdom thinking. It's not a kingdom expression. That is Pharaoh thinking. It's not kingdom thinking. We cannot have the honor of being a priest simply because we want to be one. We cannot have the honor of being a priest simply because we want to be one. Well, I just want to be like that, but actual fact, I don't want to put the time in. I don't want to say, I don't want to help my brothers. I don't want to pray for my brothers. I don't want to serve my brothers. I just want to float 3 inches above the ground and arrive and everything be done my way. Well, you can live like that if you want. But as I would say, that's one way of doing things. Christ became the high priest through God's choice, not because he wanted it. You can go and read the scriptures. He says, we are chosen. He chose Aaron as the Aaronic high priest. He was chosen of God. God has chosen us. Last point. Be a true family member. Hebrews 5:5. So Christ did not take on the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, you are my son today. I have become your father. Can we even get our heads around that? That actual fact, God is saying to his son, now today I've become your father. And you have now become this high priest. Sort of gives me a sense of just wasn't automated. There was something of a heart and of an understanding. And we know the whole righteousness and grace thing and all that. Before that, as I said, is no one can take it. It has to be given to us. We have been called and chosen to be sons and daughters in the house. Only family members hold the best interest of the family. And we're big on family here. The question is, are you a true family and have the interest of others at heart? Only a true son follows his father through ups and downs. When the tough gets going, how's it go? Perfect example. Exactly. Only true fathers spend their time on their knees for their children. Only true family members sacrifice for one another. Jesus is our high priest. And so as priests of this house, and we know we're universal, all together, big picture, we're going to expression of that tonight. But this is our house where we are, and this is where we should priest. Yeah, I'm going to priest in another house. And thinking, come back here, and hey, I was priesting over somewhere. Because your father and your mother and your brothers cooked a meal for you here, but you thought, no, I'm just going to go and eat down the road. That's orphan thinking. A new season, a new breed. And so I've gone over a little bit time, but Bridget has a word for us this morning, which I think we should finish with. And so it's okay if we go over our time every now and then a little bit. But let us be a royal priesthood. Let us priest together before the mighty God.
So I know what happened to that guy in that dark room with the mosquito. Johnny, here. After flailing his arms around in the dark for so long and sweating and getting more frustrated than anything, he eventually caught it and got it into his hand. And you know what he did? Sorry. I can go now. That was the word. Maybe I can't see what this thing has.
Rather you don't stand on it.
So there I was. No, I wouldn't. There I was. And this last week I had a sciatic thing happen. And the Lord's got ways of humbling you. So there I was with my face down on this uncomfortable thing, all strapped to electrodes and whatever they do to go and bzzz this thing out of me. And I was just praying for today and praying for all of you and just the church. And the Lord just gave me one word came into my mind. And since Friday, He's just been adding to it. So please bear with me, because after everything that we've heard and the encouragement and the horse riding and the spurs and the Stetson and everything that we've actually heard today, I don't want this in any way to come across as a heavy, but it's because Jesus loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay as we are. And the word he gave me was cobwebs. Cobwebs. He's a holy God. And yes, there is definitely in the spirit, there is a new season and a new thing that he's going to be doing. And I really believe, and reading some of the prophetic words that are coming across Canada and from people outside of Canada, there's going to be something incredible that God is going to be doing in our land. And he doesn't want the cobwebs in our lives to actually blur any of that for us. And I was just thinking about cobwebs. In Mark's office on a Tuesday, we sit up there and meet and pray for all of you in that, and we just generally pray. And we're very parochial about where we sit, right? Like everybody else, it would appear. And the chair I sit in looks over the 401, and I see in that window, I don't know how they get in there. I don't know how they get into that office, but there are spider webs in that window that I go and I take my hand like this every week around that window frame, because those spiders have gotten in and made little webs. But I really feel, you know, spider webs, when you think about them, and cobwebs, they've got a harmless kind of a gossamer look to them, but they're there nonetheless. And if they're floating, they're more probably likely to be dust bunnies than cobwebs. But they're always attached somewhere. There's just a little root attachment somewhere. And they might, the ends of them might just be floating around. But a spider spun them. And the enemy spins webs. And in those webs, as that spider is eliciting whatever it is, there's like sticky stuff. And that sticky stuff is just unhealthy if we ever get stuck into that. So I just, as the Lord's been just showing me, just some things, you know, the enemy loves the dark. He operates in the dark. He loves corners, spider webs, cobwebs and corners. You see them in corners. And they seem transparent in what Mark was speaking about just now. God brings things into the light because he loves us. He brings things into the light. He doesn't want us to be made fools of in that, ever. But he does bring things into that. He reveals things to heal them. And I just had such a sense this morning. It wasn't like the Holy Spirit's got this big Swiffer out. But just that something happened in New Brunswick ministering to the women there. Because women especially are very good. And we probably the boys, the men too. But women can pick up the corner of a Persian carpet and just put the stuff in underneath, you know, and put the carpet down. Everything's nice and shiny and polished around it. But what we did, I just felt to do with the women. There were about 25 of them there in this big lounge. And she had this magnificent Persian. And I said, let's get down on our knees before the Lord and just each take a piece of this carpet and lift up this carpet. And we're just going to trust the Holy Spirit to just get rid. And it wasn't the word cobweb. I hadn't had that word. But just get rid of all the stuff that we've just put away and let the Holy Spirit just sweep that stuff out. And that's what I've just been praying for today. Because these are some of the things that we can get, that can get caught in that little web. Like our attitudes. And unforgiveness and things. And resentments that we carry sometimes, you know. And some of them, there's justifiable anger, but it's not God's best. And the negativity. And sometimes we want to just defend ourselves and just put up a shield here and protect ourselves. But we're not in that. We're not willing to let the Holy Spirit take out his Swiffer maybe or change us in anything like that. And sometimes there's religious webs. A web of religion and past beliefs that have actually, that the Lord's wanting to say, no, let me just blow that cobweb away. Let me just go, okay? Sometimes we don't want God to go, we want him to go gently because he has such a beautiful heart towards us. And sometimes it's woundedness and sometimes it's unbelief. And then there's sin. I read this about sin once and it just, sin reaches a fist into heaven and shakes it at a praying Jesus, our advocate who's sitting at the right hand of our Father, praying for us and interceding for us constantly. He's God. And when we do something or when we're involved in something, we let that cobweb just smear itself all over us. We don't want to have a fist being shaken into the face of Jesus at all. He wants us to live whole. You are listening. I love that. It was a trick question. W-H-O-L-E. No corners. No corners. We don't want the corners that are going to catch the cobwebs. Who I have, this bracelet here was given to me by somebody that I never thought in Canada would ever speak to me again. And they sent me this bracelet. And I realized that I had cobwebs in my heart about that relationship. And I phoned. And I was actually able, there was a beautiful, exquisite reconciliation. She'd heard God. And thank the Lord, I was obedient and phoned and said thank you. But I realized that in my heart, I had those cobwebs. And I don't expect you to go, oh, whoopee-doo, I've got cobwebs. But if you have, if you feel that there are areas that I've touched on, but there might be just cobwebs lingering where you want the full sunlight to shine and not reflect a cobweb. Then stand with me. And we're going to ask the Lord to blow them away. Okay, Lord. Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful, Lord God, that you don't leave us poor and rich and pathetic like we maybe think we are, that you want to spur us on, Jesus, that you want us to walk whole, that you want us to have those cobwebs removed. So, Lord, we just come this morning in just total surrender to you. Yes, just, Lord, let's just surrender ourselves to him. And we say, Father, you know, Jesus, you know and see. Jesus, you know and see and pray for. And Holy Spirit, you are right with us now to blow with great gentleness those cobwebs, whatever they are, out of the corners of our lives. We don't need them. We don't want them. We want to shake ourselves, actually, of them, because we don't want any of our carnal intentions to get in the way of our inheritance. Father, whatever new thing you are going to do, we want all of it. We don't want little bits that can't be seen through cobwebs. We want it all. So, Father, we say to you today, blow them away from our lives. Blow them away from our minds. Blow them away from our emotions. Blow them away from the pit of our souls, Lord, that we can walk whole and healed, free, forgiven, forgiving others, with the woundedness gone, Lord God. Take down the walls that we put up, Lord. The only walls we should have around us are ones that you put there for our protection. And Father, we say thank you, Lord, that whatever it is, whether it's attitude, whatever it is that needs to go, because you love us, we say thank you for taking out your Swiffer and cleaning us up. We adore you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.